here's a great one, and I'm sure you've recently heard this. We also have to take accountability for the red flags we didn't actually take note of. That's a big thing.
Whoa, something just hit me with that.
Love Gangster with Adrian Boysell.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to The Love Gangster. I'm here today with my friend Jordan, and we are going to be talking about how we can put love into action. If you've heard this show before, we've done one episode that we did last week. We talked about putting love into action and challenging all of you that were watching and listening to go out and buy food for the person that's in the drive-thru behind you. Today, we're going to do the same thing, but I got a little twist and a little surprise for you on that. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to Jordan, give you a little bit of his background, have him tell you his story, and we're gonna talk about what the future holds for putting love into action and the love gangster itself. So let's go ahead and jump into it. What's up, brother?
What's up, my guy?
How you doing?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
Second interview, second podcast episode. It's good to be here with you.
Dude, I'm happy to be here. I loved your first episode, by the way. Fantastic. Love to see you in your element.
Yeah, it's good. Love Gangster was an idea born because of you and I and Leighton going to San Diego and talking with Adley at that lunch.
Yeah, it was a great lunch, and that was also a great experience in San Diego.
That's right.
Oh, I loved every second of it.
That's interesting. Speaking of Love Gangster and putting love into action, how much did we pay for that lunch?
Zero.
We paid $0.
Zero.
And why is that? Because there was a Love Gangster at the table, that it wasn't me. It was actually a gentleman at the end of the table who bought all of our food for everybody that was at that table. It must have been like probably close to a $1,000 bill.
Probably.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty huge, right? Buying food for somebody in line behind you or buying food for everybody at the table. That's the kind of stuff that I love to do for people. And it's awesome to see other people out there just pouring into their communities and pouring into their relationships like that. So why don't we give everybody a background about you? Let them know who you are.
All right. So what's up, y'all? My name is Jordan Kirkland. I am from Hayward, California, Bay Area all day. I am 28 years old. I am in the marketing sales field as well as doing podcasting myself and background in entertainment and mixed martial arts. Wow, that's kind of a gist of my story. I have done everything from working warehouses to serving people food to punching people in the face for a living, all the way to, you know, trying to make people laugh on stage. So that's kind of an encompassing ment of who I am.
That's right. And when I met you, I was completely blown away by how many jobs you have.
Yeah, to fill you guys in, at the time where we met back last November, I was working 5 jobs, 7 days a week, and I'd sleep for about 4 hours a day.
That's unbelievable. The fact that you had that work ethic. And then he comes to me and he's like, I'm tired, Bob. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'd be tired too. I know what that's like. I did that for a decade, getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. It is brutal.
It's not good for you. As most people don't realize that working late night shifts, like if you're doing anything from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m., it actually is a class 1 carcinogen. Like you are actually more susceptible to cancer because you're not in your sleep rhythm when you're actually like, when you're supposed to be asleep.
Yep.
Be asleep, right? But if you're just up and you're working and you're out and about, like I used to work in nightclubs,
yeah.
All right? I dealt with the worst types of people when they're on their worst behavior,
right?
And I'm not talking about the Drake song. And so one of those things is like, you're up and you're up and you're up and you have to stay awake. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'm patting people down, checking people in and going, just like in the middle of about to fall asleep. It is insane.
That's brutal. I did nightlife security too, and I've watched people almost get run over. I've had to throw people over the fence. The crazy stuff you have to do in security, that is not a world that I would ever want to go back to again. In fact, I left that industry because of 2 shootings that happened back to back. I'm sure you've seen a few of those.
Been almost ran over myself, almost been stabbed, almost been shot twice. I've broken up more guy and girl fights than you could possibly count, and I've had to do a whole lot of stuff to try to stay alive. But I will say this, it taught me how to handle people very effectively and learning how to diffuse situations before they become actual situations. So I am thankful for the experience, but I wouldn't wish security on anybody that is not ready to deal with people at their worst.
That's right. You know, as somebody that is very people oriented like you, when we went to San Diego and I watched you walk in the building and just like from the time we got there till the time we left, there was just this magnetism that you have. Have you always had that as a kid? Or as an adult and as a kid?
You know, it's a dual sword. So my mom told me that when I was a kid, the easiest thing for me to do was to walk up to somebody and say, hi, my name is Jordan, you wanna go play? So for me, I don't really think of it as magnetism. I think of it's my willingness to want to talk to somebody and my interest in who they are as their person. Like, I had no idea who was going to be at this event. Yeah. So I'm just like, hey, I'm going to say hi to everybody. Yeah. And I can do that. Like, I've been able to do that since forever. Yeah. I can talk to anybody, yeah, right? Because I know what it's like to have communication skills. Little story. When I was growing up, I actually had an issue with my R's and my S's. So I actually had to go to communications class for a really long period of time so that I could actually know how to pronounce R and S.
Wow.
So I did not know how to do that. And communicating with people, because fun fact, I'm an introvert. So I would much rather like hang out with like one person or a very small group of people or just be by myself than have to talk to a whole crowd of people.
Wow. That trips me out. The fact that you say you're an introvert, because I've been having this like internal conflict for like probably about a year now of like, am I an introvert or am I an extrovert? I have this person, I love to talk, I love to meet people, I love to build relationships, and you get me talking and it's hard to shut me up, right? That's why this is perfect for me. But there's the other side to me, like if I'm on stage and speaking, I've told you about this, like as soon as I'm off that stage, leave me alone. I wanna go home and I wanna go take a nap or sleep or rest, and I wanna disconnect and fill myself. It drains me to do that kind of stuff. And so I've been wondering to myself, like, am I actually an introvert? And my wife said something recently. She's like, I think you are an introvert. I just think you've learned to become extroverted.
Yes. So as a person who is a introvert extrovert, I had to teach everything that I love is with people.
Mm-hmm.
From psychology to talking about motivation to helping people do mental alchemy when it comes to their situations. Yep. It all involves people. But what I also realized, and a friend of mine actually brought up to me, he goes, you know, this was a really fun way he said it. He goes, Jordan, you like people, but you like people's stories and you like what makes them tick. You're not necessarily a fan of people.
That's true.
As a general wanting them to be around you.
So what is it about the story that is so empowering to you?
So I've always been into stories. Mm-hmm. Like as a kid, you know, I was a video gamer. I read comics, you know, superheroes were my thing. That's why I have a Batman tattoo. That's why I have all those things.
Anime.
If you're talking about anime, I'm your guy. What's up? But when it comes to stories,
yeah,
and the archetypes of what stories represent as a human being, mm-hmm, I always believe that everybody has the ability to have a story, but not everybody has the platform. Not mm-hmm everybody has done the work for their story to be interesting. It's like writing a book.
Yeah.
And if you just wrote, I woke up today and everything was fantastic and I went to bed, you're like, that's great.
Okay.
Sure, I guess that's not a great story. But if you're talking about like, I woke up this morning and a bomb went off right next to me and I survived that, and then somehow I managed to get to from A to B to C, and you see the test of character that the archetypes represent, it showcases that there's that human spirit that comes to life in that.
So the hero's journey.
Big hero's journey guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the hero's journey, and there's so many versions of a hero's journey, because some people are just like, yeah, you got the sword and you got the shield, or you're a superhero, and you go through the strife and you have to lose a parent at some level.
That's
It's like, to a certain degree, I would say my story really is like a hero's journey, but it's similar to Simba coming back into the kingdom, right? So for those of you who don't know, like, I have a famous parent, I won't say his name on here, but he's done his own thing and people have seen him perform on stages, they've seen him on podcasts, on radio shows. And so that side of my family is estranged to me, right? But I've always had those gifts there. But because I was so like, I don't want to be anything like this person, I cut myself off from that really early on. So now my journey is to unlearn all the blocks that I've put on top of it.
That's right.
So that I can come into who I'm supposed to be. And that's where I've found my journey.
And that's where you're at now.
Yeah, that's definitely the stepping stones to the Rocky run.
And I think we should cover that a little bit, because I think it'll be fascinating if somebody was going from working to five jobs to now, how many jobs are you working technically now? And let's take the last one, you have one more day left, so let's remove that one from the picture.
So I technically only have two jobs now. Yes, congratulations to me. Working with you guys, and then also working as a functional fitness instructor for Pipeworks Climbing Gym in Sacramento. I get a chance to teach people how to get in shape and build back their bodies again, because I had to go through that myself.
Which I'm learning right now.
Oh, he looks fantastic, by the way. I'm not teaching him, but he's in his work. But a lot of this, all a lot of anything that's happening right now is because I decided to take control of my body again. Mm. After years of injuries, after years of inconsistencies with workouts, yeah. I finally was like, look, it's mobility and flexibility and awkward strength training. And if I do this diligently every single day, I yeah. will lose 30 pounds and I will have a better outcome of life.
Absolutely. So in this season, now you're in a completely different role than you've ever been. And I know that there's a huge learning curve for our industry. And that's been a challenge for me in the world of digital marketing and marketing agencies, is trying to find people who have marketing experience, who have a knack for marketing, that I can teach them everything I've learned over the last 17 years. Most people aren't able to grasp it. And that was the one thing I was like, I think I asked you to like read something, and then you came back to me and I'm like, hey, check this video out and let me know what you think. And you're like, boom, 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 boom. Your memory and your recall with very complex things, I found, has been very interesting. And so that's why the opportunity came as quickly as it did on the work side of things, is the friendship was gonna be there. Like the moment you and I started talking together, I was like, dude, where have you been, bro?
Yeah, I know.
I've been missing you, bro.
All I did was to say, I like your hat. I like your hat. And I truly believe, and this is just for anybody who's ever wondering about how to communicate with somebody, first thing that I ever learned, and I think How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, is compliment somebody genuinely. I'm gonna say that again, compliment somebody genuinely.
That's right.
Because if you just say, oh, I really like your pants, but you have no interest in pants, that just comes off weird, bro, and you can feel that. But if you actually can look at somebody and go, man, I love your tattoos, or I love your hat, or dude, your beard is awesome, is on point.
Yeah.
People will feel that, and that
yeah, even means, me inside, I'm like, hey, I'm like, yeah.
But that's a true thing. If you're not being true to yourself and what you're genuinely interested in, mm-hmm. you cut yourself off from all the opportunities of people you could connect with. That's just my personal thought process on it.
So an interesting question just came up as we were talking, as you were saying that, that I want to ask you. If you were to go back in the present, right, in the, like, you are present right now in this moment and having that full perspective, like, you know, they say hindsight is always 20/20. You now looking at your life now and where you're at currently, and just go back 10 years, from 28-year-old Jordan to 18-year-old Jordan, what advice would you give to 18-year-old Jordan, knowing that you're going to be here where you are today?
Believe in yourself and love yourself more. If I was going to tell myself anything, it would be believe in yourself and love yourself more. And get started on your flexibility and mobility right away. Don't let the doctors who say, we're not going to help you, and they just, that's basically what happened. So to give you quick context, had an injury, 18 years old, my scapula got pushed into my ribcage. I had a bone sticking out of my armpit, literally, for 2.5 years. Doctors were like, hey, we don't see a break, so here's some medicine and good luck to you. And so for 18 to basically 27, I was in searing pain. And I still have issues now, but because I train the way that I train now, it's so much better. So going back to 18-year-old Jordan is love yourself more, because you have so many opportunities that went away because you didn't love yourself more. Take more risks and be more confident, because when you love yourself more, you're willing to take more risks. More risks lead to more rewards, along with lessons. So you're going to get your lessons. I know I'm not going to win all things, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to take some wins along the way. Right. And third, it would be don't trust the girls for the next 4 years that you want to talk to. They're not good for you.
that's great advice. Stay away from the ladies right now, especially at 18 years old. There's too many people chasing that societal programming, is what I feel like it is. It's like you gotta find a girlfriend, and then you're going to date her, and then you're going to get married, then you're going to have kids, and you get a house. And it's like, this programming that the society does, from television to just everything that we watch and consume, and even other people in our lives. And I think being able to disconnect from that reality, be present in right now, what's going to serve you right now. And that's the one thing I like about your personality, is like, you're just very present and very grounded in that. When did you feel like that clicked, like that shift in presence and awareness?
It's always kind of been there, but it didn't really come in until about last year.
Okay.
So to be honest with you, but like, I've always had moments where I can be incredibly clear and very present with people. Mm-hmm. And when it came to relationships, like, I definitely had more of that in my surrounding area. So for example, like all of my friends.
Yeah.
And people I didn't even like, who are just in my vicinity, they were all in relationships. And they were all looking at me like, oh, Jordan, you're not dating anybody. And you're not like, are you talking to somebody? Like, what's the issue? Yeah. So I'm over here like, I am miserable right now because I don't know how to talk to a girl, or whatever my concept of dating was for the last 15 years of my life in terms of dating was just incorrect. or there was just parts of the game that I didn't understand.
Wow.
And because of that, it made the lessons of understanding how to be present, how to slow down, how to actually be in the feminine of letting something just grow as it may and That's right. not focusing on it so that it can come to you if it's supposed to come to you. That was a 15-year process
Wow.
to understand that. And I still have my little moments here and there.
Of course
there,
we all do.
But at the same time now, at 28 compared to 18, if I talk to a lady and she's like, you know, this gave me all the wonderful words, I'm just waiting for your actions.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go, hey, look, this is the seed. I've asked you out or I've done whatever. I am now leaving the ball in your court if you want to also grow this plant with me, because this is not a one-sided thing.
That's
I am
right.
no longer chasing one-sidedness, where That's I right. used to do that all the time.
Interesting. Yeah, and I think that goes back to what you were saying about loving yourself, and there was something in that loving yourself that I want to unpack just a little bit, because I feel like there's a gift and there's some wisdom here that you have. You said that you missed opportunities if you had just loved yourself more, right? Mm-hmm. And there were opportunities that you took for relationships that you wish you wouldn't have taken.
Right? Oh, yeah.
From loving yourself.
Yeah.
So that loving yourself thing is a very deep, multi-layered onion. We'll just call it what it is. It's a freaking layered onion. And once you start to peel back those layers of yourself and start doing that introspection, do you feel like that's kind of what started to shift, was like introspectively looking at your life and looking at the relationships and looking at the people?
I had this conception of myself where, you know, like, oh, I'm a tall, good-looking guy. I got a lot of things. I'm doing all the right things that society is telling me to do.
Yeah.
But it was going against me the whole time. So I had moments where, like, I had to fight against my bitterness. I had to fight against becoming destructive and self-destructive. I had to become more like, okay, I'm becoming reactive to things that I should not actually care about. So what's going on with me that is triggering these responses to where I'm basically, you know, pulling the plug on a lot of things that I thought would be better for me or could have been better for me?
Yeah.
Why am I not going after the girl who's giving me the attention and only going after the girls who I know for sure won't give me the attention?
Right.
Right. So that started off with a quote that I actually saw when I was 16 years old, which was, your task is not to seek love, but to merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself you bit against it. And that's from a Sufi poet named Rumi. He's
Can you
one
say
of
that one more time? That's a good one.
Your task is not to seek love, but to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you built against it. And that's from the poet Rumi. He has a bunch of Sufi quotes that are fantastic.
Wow, that's a really powerful quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the one by Ram Dass that my wife was just talking about. It's like, before I knew God, what is it? It's, I was God. Now that I know God, before I knew God, I was God, and now that I know God, I am God, or something to that extent. And it's like, it's a really deep. And it's, again, it's that multi-layered thing. And so you peel back those things, and you really love yourself. For everybody that's listening and watching this, what does that actually mean more practically? Like, how can you do a better job of loving yourself? What are some of the practices or some of the things that you did to? Because it's not just the thoughts and the introspection, but it's also some of the actions that you took.
So it's thought that predates action, and then action is the follow-through for knowing that you are on the right track. So the first part of it is my thoughts. So what I do when I am trying to navigate my mindset and do what I like to call mental alchemy, right? So that's kind of the things that I usually talk to people about, which is take the lesson, you know, alchemize it, and then turn it into something positive, right? So then that takes practice, though, and it's not pleasant. Not pleasant at all.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do this work, understand that it's going to be very painful, but you also have to be very realistic with yourself. So one example is like, okay, how do I get better when it comes to being present with people? The first thought is, only in this moment is what's happening. That's the thought. That's how I engage with people. Only in this moment am I interacting in this time frame. Mm. Tomorrow is not happening right now. Yesterday has passed. I only have this moment right now. So
That's
what's
right.
happening in this moment that I need to pay attention to? The second thing is that in my actions, I actually look people in the eye purposely. Mm. And I keep my eye contact there.
That's
because
good.
What ends up happening is, as they say, the eyes are the gateway to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm willing to share my soul with you, it calls your soul into action to interact with me on that same level.
Wow.
And so what happens is, I used to actually have a really hard time looking at people in the eye, not because I didn't want to see what was going on with them, but because I did not want them to see the darkness behind my eyes.
Ooh.
And so it was really hard at times to be able to go, yeah, let me look at you and really look at you, mm-hmm. and then be able to go, but you might see what's going on with me, and I don't know how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. So it is the thought. You have a mindset or anchor to get you into the thought. Then you do the action, and then you have your prerequisites into the action that you take, and then there's the follow through talking.
That's gold. That's gold. That reminds me and makes me think of this title of your show, which was genius, that I can't wait for everybody here to be able to check out too in the future, Laugh at the Pain. We both know what it's like to endure and experience a lot of pain and suffering, right? From the scapula to the father wounds to, we have a lot in common. And that's, I think, where we bonded deeply amongst other things. You know, just being able to look at that pain and then be able to get to a place where you can laugh at it. That is like, again, with the Adley thing, taking two things that don't belong together and putting them together makes it like, whoa, what do you mean laugh at the pain, right? Because if you fell as a kid and like you tripped and your friend started laughing at you, you got pissed, right? You're like, dude, why are you freaking laughing at me? I'm hurt right now.
Yeah. So how Laugh at the Pain started technically was when I was a baby, I had bronchiolitis. So I had my first year of breathing. I struggled really, really hard. I would cough so hard that I'd throw up. But somehow my mom told me, because again, obviously I don't remember this, but she told me, like, you used to laugh afterward. So you would cough so hard, like violent coughing, to the point where you'd throw up as a baby. I'm a one-year-old baby throwing up like over and over again. But somehow my brain was like, in order for us to keep ourselves sane, laughter is going to be the only thing that I can do about this. So that was the first thing. The second thing, what really triggered the Laugh at the Pain show, was actually a friend of mine passing away and me and my other friend finding his body in our house. And that moment was like, whoa, mortality right there in front of you. Yeah. And he was only 32 years old, right? So only a couple years older than I am. So I will be like, I'm thankful for every day. Mm-hmm. Every day when I wake up, I'm like, even if it's a bad day, I'm thankful for the day. I'm thankful for the good. I'm thankful for the bad, because I would rather take something going horribly wrong today mm-hmm. than be 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Because at least I have the option of trying to fix it. But once it's done, it's done.
Ooh, that's a great freaking powerful mindset. Once it's done, it's done.
Once it's done, it's done. The book closes.
There's gratitude. That's the ultimate. So now you just broke it down even more for me. Laugh at the Pain really means is that level of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. I'm big on gratitude. And then I did my first comedy stand-up from there. So like, I'm not actively doing comedy anymore, but I have some stuff that I have put out there. But one of the very first jokes I ever made was actually about my friend's death, because it wasn't the death that was funny. It was all the factors after the death that, if you looked at this as an outside perspective, is absolutely hilarious.
Wow.
So I was like, I have to do this.
Wow. And I'm sure this is going to spark some thoughts and some even maybe trigger some things for people. But it triggered something for me in hearing that, because almost no one knows this. And I was talking to my mom about this the other day. I don't really talk about this very much. But at 4 years old, I was walking home from Kmart with my grandma, who was my grandfather and my grandmother were raising me. And I walk in and my grandfather was my hero. I mean, bike rides to the American River. Sitting there, him reading me stories every night, just so many, sitting in his shop in his garage that he had converted over for his business, and meeting with clients, and like, he was like the spirit of entrepreneurship, that he was the one that put that into me first before everything. So he was a larger than life hero and a titan. And I talk about my titan talk in one of my signature talks, but what people don't know is that he passed away right in front of me at 4 years old. And I shortly after, it was a very traumatizing moment, as you can imagine, but shortly after, I went to go live with my stepmom, who was the opposite of what he was. I was this kid that now just showed up in her life, and she was young. I mean, she was probably only 20, 21 years old, so she was just a kid, basically still too, trying to figure herself out, but she did not want me around, and she treated me like she did not want me around, and I could feel that, right? Because I'm a feeler. I could just feel her energy, just like she did not want me around. And she used to yell and scream at me all the time. I was always making mistakes, and I think a lot of it was subconscious mistakes that I would make mistakes, and she would yell at me, and I would be miserable and upset and sad that I messed up, and like, I'd feel guilty and I'd feel all these horrible feelings, but I would start laughing. Mm-hmm. And she would get so mad at me laughing, and it was a trauma response.
Yeah.
So how does that come in, like laughter that's a trauma response, right? Because that's kind of what you're saying
yeah.
as your childhood, as you're freaking throwing up, that's a traumatic thing to do, and then you're laughing at it, right? A trauma response in a lot of ways. Like my whole first business I had was kind of a trauma response from my childhood. I had this dream, this vision, and I created it out of my trauma. And once I've been able to become more healed, it's actually become harder to still operate and do things at the same level that I did. So from the trauma response place, like what are your thoughts on laughter and how that works?
So when it comes to pain, pain is your catalyst. It is the fire that gets you started to go. I am not necessarily the biggest Bible reader, but I do know that the whole story, I believe it is of not Moses, but what's the gentleman who started Israel or...
Moses.
Okay, so Moses. Yeah. Wasn't he like 70-something years old where he finally left the place, right?
Yep.
So pain has to start somewhere.
That's
you
right.
need something to prick you up, which is going back to the hero's journey.
That's right.
If you don't have a catalyst, nothing gets started. Chaos has to have a catalyst. That's how creation becomes something, right? That's when you're painting something, when you're writing music, when you're doing video, when you're doing podcasting, it starts with something that's going to bring the fire up. Otherwise, you're not capturing anybody's attention. That's just a big thing about it. When it comes to laughter, laughter can be a trauma response, and it can also be a way of allowing the body to release stresses. Mm-hmm. So like crying is fantastic.
Yeah.
Crying and laughter are your two biggest medicines that we don't actually need to take a pill for. Because laughing, from my experience, okay, I'm not a doctor, but as laughter, when I get hit in the face as a mixed martial artist, I immediately smile. Because one, that's like, ooh, you got me pretty good on that one. I'm pretty happy about that. And the second part is like, okay, now we're going to take you seriously.
Yeah.
And one of the most iconic villains, Joker, right?
Yeah.
He's always talking about his one bad day. And you see how he's laughing and you see how everything's a joke. Or again, The Watchmen, right?
Yeah.
You had the comedian and he looks at life as a joke. How many villains and the laughter of the idea of the parody of life come from that?
Yeah.
And so that's where like the pain, the trauma response go together. It's an archetype.
Yeah.
The fool is an archetype.
Wow.
You go through this pain and do you have the mental alchemy skills to turn something incredibly painful into something that you could look at and go, that was actually pretty funny. It may have not been pleasant, but it's funny now.
Well, you guys could probably relate to this that are listening and watching, and I know for sure you can, is like the different situations that have happened in my life, the way they've come together, the way they've fallen apart, the way that they've just happened in general, and then the after effects and the ripple effects that happen from them, negative or positive, whatever. There's been so many times I've said to myself, all right, you are the funniest. You are the original comedian. You're the greatest comedian of all time. Like, I could not have come up with a better script. Like, God is the most hilarious. He has the most hilarious sense of humor. Just like the things that you curse end up coming back to you. It's like, just so many different things that I've done in my life that have caused me to have to suffer or deal with some sort of pain. And at the end of it, when I get through it and I'm on the other side of it, I'm like, wow, okay, you're funny. Like, now I can actually look at this, like, you're funny. Like, I would not be who I am today if it hadn't been for all the pain that I've gone through, from bad relationships to bad friendships to bad business partnerships. I mean, so many different situations from the same thing that you said here at the beginning. And that's what I think the core of this message is for you, all of you listening today, is loving yourself more.
Yeah. If you can take the time to love yourself more and to engage with yourself and be honest with yourself. I can't tell you how many times I have lied to me because I was not ready to actually articulate the inconsistencies of myself.
Wow.
So when I take time to go, hey, Jordan, your financial situation is because of you. Hey, your love life situation isn't fully because of you, but you haven't knocked down certain barriers that you should have taken on. Or, hey, maybe your family life could have been better had you taken more initiative into showing more love to your family, right?
Yeah.
These are all things that these are hard answers and questions to ask yourself because you're going to get an answer. You may not like it.
It's true.
Accept it and then alchemize it so that you can do something better, right? That's the biggest thing that where people are like, what do they say? Knowledge is power.
Yep.
Incorrect. Applied knowledge is power. Because I can know something, but I may not know how to do something,
which means
I don't know it, and therefore I can't apply it. So if people are reading books and you read a chapter, when I was first reading Dale Carnegie books, I would read a chapter and then find a way to apply that chapter in my first day.
That's the key. Information plus application is what creates the transformation.
Exactly.
Yep.
So can you repeat that actually? Because that was really good.
Yeah. information plus application is what creates the transformation.
Yeah, and that's how you laugh at the pain. If you can apply it,
yeah.
Ooh, I really shouldn't have talked to that one girl. She gave me all the red sign, all the flags, or guy gave me all the red flags immediately. Here's a great one, and I'm sure you've recently heard this. We also have to take accountability for the red flags we didn't actually take note of. That's a big thing.
Whoa, something just hit me with that. Dude, think about all the comedy movies. I think you and I have this in common. If you look at all the funny stepbrothers, the meatloaf, right? Like, we could probably, between the two of us, we could sit here for another hour and rattle off hilarious lines in movies. It's the laughter and the humor that actually creates the depth of the memory. The more funny something is, the more laughter you get from somebody, like the Bruce Almighty scene back in the day when he's that was one, I'll never forget that moment in the movie theater and just literally dying in laughter. It's one of the greatest movie scenes of all time. That is a really rooted memory. So laughter will help you remember the pains, the struggles, the challenges, and the things you've overcome, especially from a place of gratitude. Now that's power right there.
It is, it's a potency, right? And if you can learn to laugh at something, if you can learn to grow that, it just becomes something that's super beautiful. And the goal is to also not expect anything.
That's right.
Anytime when I was working my five jobs, 7 days a week, only sleeping 4 hours a day, I had no idea I was going to meet you.
Yeah.
I had just told myself after I had gotten fired from my other job that I was like, look, I know something good's going to come out of this, but I have to put in this work. And that means sleeping in my car. That means sleeping on the floor. If that means having to thug it out and drive back and forth from Sacramento to the Bay, which for people who are not from California, that's about an hour and 40-minute drive each way. And put in the hours and my car may break down and like all these other things. And my friends are like, oh, what are you going to do when something fails? And I'll be like, I don't know.
That's right.
But I got to just put faith in that something positive is going to come into my life that's going to take me out of this. But I have to put in that work first.
Yeah.
And that's how all things led to our relationship.
That's amazing. So with all of that being said, I think there's a lot of value here for people. What does the future hold for Jordan?
So I kind of feel like I'm chosen for this. Starting up the Laugh at the Pain podcast again, so that'll be coming up in the next week or two, so I'm very excited about that. I am working on doing public speaking, so I will be working on keynote speaking and stuff like that. And
this guy's voice.
Have you heard it? Someone keeps saying that I sound like Les Brown. I've had a couple people say that, so maybe I am,
you have greatness inside of you.
You have greatness inside of you.
You hear that?
And you do. I believe that, instead of greatness is you have so much potential that you have not yet tapped into that's waiting for you. That's waiting for you to come out. That's waiting for you to step into. And it's kind of like putting on that like suit of armor, or like the hero finally putting on the cape again. You have to relearn that you are that amazing. And it's not from an ego place. Maybe like 2% ego. The rest of it is just, I've been chosen to show up and do something. And I was given this voice. I was given this look by God, thankfully. And I will do my own self and his work disservice if I don't find a way to apply that properly.
Whew. You've been called. You've been chosen. I believe that for every single person that's listening to this, for Jordan's life, for my life, for my family's life, for my children's life, and I believe that you are chosen. So if anybody wants to reach out, connect with you, get to know you more, become friends, how would they go about doing that?
So you can find me on Instagram, at justjordan22, and Jordan with an E, so just and then JORDEN22. If you want to reach out to myself or the amazing business that I work with, you can reach out to Jordan with an E at brandbutler.ai. And then also, if you're just trying to find any of the stuff that I go on to, just type in Jordan Kirkland. You'll be seeing more stuff coming up here soon. And don't forget to find and wait for Laugh at the Pain, which will also be produced by our group VMV. I'm very excited about.
And when we get that show done, we'll put the link in the description of this video, even though it'll be a week or so from now. And then we close this episode, every episode out, with a challenge. And so I want to change it up. Like I told you guys at the beginning of this, I want to change it up. And I gave the challenge last week, which was to buy something for someone in front of you in line, wherever you are, coffee, drive through, whatever. And I told you to report back to me or you'd be swimming with the fishes. This time we're going to let Jordan do that.
So my challenge to all of you for showing some love to your community and to the people around you is everybody has, I know everybody does, have clothes that they do not wear, okay? Instead of going to the thrift store and finding out later that maybe it got delivered, there's a bunch of homeless places where people are gathered onto the streets. Take a box, go up to one of them and just say, hey, for you and your community, here is a bunch of clothes that I no longer wear or shoes I no longer wear, and just drop it off and go. And that's how you'll show love, or you'll be sleeping with the fishes.
That's right. You're gonna make the challenge happen, you report back to me, or you'll be swimming with the fishes, capiche? We out. We're gonna do this again, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
just
brother,
the beginning. Yes, I'm proud of you, and can't wait to see you guys on the next episode. God bless, and as always, keep looking up.